Hey, everybody, this is Steli Efti.
And this is Heaton Cha.
And today on the Startup Chat, we're going to talk about mistakes to avoid when trying to sell your startup.
I think we like talking about more than just sales and marketing.
We just want to bullshit and chat about business and life, and hopefully, while we're doing that, provide a lot of value to people.
The world's best business podcast.
Oh, shit. We got it.
For people trying to get shit done.
Yeah. We don't want to give you feedback that's bullshit.
Yeah, we want you to do your best.
So here's the reason why I want to talk to you about this, Heaton. Well, one, I think it's compelling content and people are going to be interested in this. Lots of people that are running a startup might want to sell it one day. And currently, it's kind of like part of my world because I have some friends that are in the process of selling their startup. And I've been kind of very much involved in that and kind of observing from the sidelines their approach and their strategies. And also, my own kind of, from my perspective, I've been observing a bunch of mistakes they are making or have made. So I thought, and I know that you've helped a ton of people sell their startups. So I thought that we could provide some value to our listeners out there. So let me start with asking you, if you think about kind of the more recent examples, or maybe there's just like top of mind, this is a big mistake most people make when they're trying to sell their startup. And if there's somebody that's listening to us that's going to be in this situation, this is the one mistake I'd like them to avoid. What comes to your mind immediately on this topic?
Yeah, you know, the typical thing is that companies are bought, not sold.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to think about, why would someone need your company? Why would they buy it? Even if you're going through like a banker or one of the firms that helps with that kind of opportunity of like selling your company, you still need a reason why someone would buy it. And I think that's my number one tip is, like, if you know that and you're going to sell your company either way, whether people are coming to you or you have to sort of use a third party and go to them, you have to think about this idea that companies are bought, they're not sold. So why would someone buy it? What impact are you and your business going to have for them? And that's often not thought about enough in the right ways, because the best buys are strategic, not because they're going to buy you and acqui-hire you, as they say, and then shut down whatever you're working on.
That makes a ton of sense, and that's killer advice. I think the thing that's top of mind for me when it comes to a mistake to avoid while you're trying to sell your startup is, I mean, this is true in many different situations, but in this situation, it's very important. You need to know, you know, what your line in the sand is, and you need to know, you know, what you bring to the negotiation. So, and what you're willing to lose and what you're willing to gain for it. Like, what's your appetite for risk? How hard are you going to negotiate? What's your position and leverage to even negotiate really hard? Because people are usually very confused when it comes to this. So from a recent example, you know, my friends are negotiating selling their company. There's a new buyer that pops up that they culturally liked better than the main buyer that we're talking to. They got very excited and they're like, this new buyer is offering us something that's going to feel more exciting and more natural. And it's a partner that we're more, you know, happier around selling our company to and working with closely. But they're already super late in a situation where they're about to run out of money. There's all this pressure. They don't really have much to negotiate with. And then there were, you know, they get this buyer that's very interested and it's like very honest with them on why they would buy them and how much money and what kind of, what their possibilities are in terms of an acquisition. And then they're talking to me and they're like, well, you know, how can we squeeze every dollar out of this deal? And I go, well, do you guys want to really poker super high to get the maximum amount of money? Or are you trying to get the fastest outcome possible because you're a few weeks away from running out of money and you like this buyer a lot? Why would you want to tell them a number that's three times higher than what you think they want to offer you to start kind of a long drawn out process to optimize on money, when it seems to me you might need to optimize for time, unless you really don't care, unless you're in a situation where you go, if we can't get this amount of money, we rather just go bankrupt. And it's those kind of situations where people are confused. They're like, let's try to maximize for money, although they're not in a situation to maximize for money. And what happened in that case is they gave that potential buyer a super high number, and the buyer came back and said, no, thanks. I don't think this is going to work for us, but best of luck. And it's like, of course. Like, you are, have days before bankruptcy and you're playing high-stake poker, although you very much care about selling the business. And you, like, you need to know your risk appetite. You need to know what is the outcome you want to optimize for and what's the position you're in. And if you're not in a position to negotiate hard, don't negotiate hard, right?
Right.
And
right.
If you're not in a position where you have a lot of time, don't act like you have a lot of time. Optimize for time.
That's right.
Just be aware what the cards are that you have and what's important to you in terms of outcome. I find that oftentimes people, they're confused. Like, they're just like, they're trying to get everything, or they get overly excited and they're like, oh, how can we get as much money as possible? When the reality of your situation is you have very little time and you probably can't optimize to get the maximum amount of money, because that's not that shouldn't be your number one priority right now. So really knowing what your priorities are and what the cards are that you really have at the table, I think is important. It seems so obvious, but almost always when I see somebody struggling in negotiation, it's because of that.
Yeah, this has a lot to do with the idea of getting really excited about something. And it's either excited about whoever's going to buy you or excited about what you can get out of them. When instead, like, think of it as a business transaction where there's a value exchange, and that's what you're really aiming to do. So I think, like, that excitement, that emotion can really get in the way of getting a deal, just because you get really anxious, you get nervous, you get excited, you get like all these emotions, when, like, at the end of the day, they're going to, the buying party is typically at some point going to treat you like a transaction. So don't get hurt or disappointed when they do that. Instead, be prepared for that. Like, there's a friend of mine going through this right now, and it's a pretty large acquisition, and he's fine. Like, he knows how to deal with this high level. But at the end of the day, like, this is a deal that the other company really wants to do. It's very strategic for them. They've been wanting to do it. But at the end, at the last hour, they're throwing things in that, like, you know, you have to negotiate. So the whole goal and key there is, like, to not flinch. They throw something in there you need to negotiate, you figure out how to negotiate it and get it out of there. Or, you know, figure out the give and take. And this is a deal that, like, the other party, the buying party, wants to happen. It's not a deal where they're, like, willing to let it go. And yet, they are throwing these things in there because to them, it's a transaction. And so to you, it should be a transaction too.
Yeah, I think learning to disconnect your emotions and not attach yourself to the idea of the sale is really important, because any number of startups that have entered a negotiation to sell the company, I don't know what the percentages are, honestly. I don't think that anybody has true numbers on this. But my guess would be that it's more than, you know, it's a high percentage, probably 60, 70, 80% of the time, a negotiation doesn't end up, you know, resulting in a sale.
Right.
So you just need to be passionate about trying to make it happen, but emotionally you need to assume this deal will not go through, right?
Correct.
So you can be rational and you don't attach yourself to the outcome. That's very kind of, you know, outside your hands and kind of a low likely proposition in most situations. The other thing I'll say is communication. Like, in this specific case, and I think this is something I've seen before as well, sometimes there's a lot that you will not communicate clearly enough to understand what that process is to buying you and where in the process you are at any given time. And there's a lot of guesswork. Oh, we had three calls. They told us there's just one more call or one more thing they need to do. We did that thing. We've been waiting for a week. We haven't heard anything. We're not sure what's going on. Like, taking it up on you to be very proactive with your communication at any step of the way to ask them, where in the process are we? How many more steps? Who are the stakeholders? What going to take to get us from where we are right now to a final decision and a transaction? And to manage that process, to over-communicate and force the buyer to communicate with you so you have real information to understand what's going on, versus a lot of the time, founders feel awkward asking those questions. And so they'd rather assume, oh, I think they're going to make a decision soon, versus they told us they're making a decision Wednesday morning at a board meeting. And so by 11 a.m., we will know. Like, it's two very different things. One is information the buyer is giving you, and the other one is something you are assuming, or you are guessing, or you are hoping based on some information, and then you adding a bunch of interpretation on top of that information. So make sure that you have real clarity on their process, and that you consistently check in if that process is still in play.